Brenda Spann coming to you from the Now Network broadcast. Oh, the psalmist declares, like, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. It says, praise ye the Lord. In spite of what's going on in the world, we ought to praise ye the Lord, because he is in us is greater than he is in this world. Oh, hallelujah. I have a word from the Lord today, a powerful word. I'm just excited about it. My topic today is the divine king versus the counterfeit king. Again, the divine king versus the counterfeit. And today I will be coming from the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel. We'll be talking about the king when the Israelites, you know, got frustrated and wanted Samuel to appoint a king over them. It wasn't enough that the great I am, the Jehovah Jireh, was their king. The divine king was their king. It was not enough. They needed to have a physical, a natural king that they can look at, and so they can rule over them. And God did not intend for this to happen. God wanted to be their monarchy. He wanted to be their only God. And so sometimes when people cannot see someone natural in the physical, sometimes they get distracted. And so we're going to see in the book what happened? And then not only what happened, but God also gave them a warning if they was to appoint a king over them. Oh, you know, God wants to be your only king. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but God wants to be your only king. The counterfeit, it tells you what you want to hear, and it may manipulate you, rob you for all your money, use you on up. But the divine king, he wants to give unto you. He wants to bless you. And God wants to see you liberated. He wants to see you free. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. Oh, hallelujah. Bless his name. God is awesome God. Oh, hallelujah. And so we're going to move forward in our lesson today. But before we move forward in our lesson, of course, we have to go to the throne and pray. I know many may have prayer requests. Many may be going through things today. A lot of things has been going on news and on social media, but I just encourage you, we have to sometimes turn that stuff off and get in the presence of God, because sometimes meditating on those things, it's not good. It's not good. So I want to encourage you today, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God is directing your foot today. Oh, how he's a good God. The Bible says that he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. And the Bible also said that his will is for none to perish, but all to come to repentance. And we have to realize that God is a patient God. He is very patient. Oh, my goodness. I know he was patient with me. And so he knew, oh, my goodness. He knew that I was going to get to a point in my life that I was going to call upon him. And many of us today got to the point of their life and had to call upon him. And so today, again, we're going to talk about the divine king, because God is faithful. Oh, my goodness. I have to say that again. God is faithful when we are not faithful. And what God is looking for, he's looking for faithful people. Oh, he's looking for faithful people. He's looking for faithful people that's going to trust him in spite of the storm, in spite of the pain, in spite of doubt. He's looking for faithful people. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, giving you all the praise, giving you all the honor. Lord, I thank you for those that are listening today, God. I ask that you bless them with a double portion, oh God. I ask that you open the window and you pour them out a blessing that they have no room to receive, God. Many are waiting and hoping and expecting for a door to open up, a door for a job, oh God, a door for a promotion, God. I ask that you look upon them right now. We ask that you look upon their families right now. Those that is not saved, Lord, I ask that you bring them into the sheepfold, oh God. In the name of Jesus, God said he hears your prayers. He hears your prayers. Many have been praying for a long time, and God says, I hear your prayers. His timing is not our timing. But, you know, the good thing about it, that we have patience and that we wait on the promises of God. Oh, hallelujah. God is faithful. He's divine. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you, I have never found no one else like him. And so in the book of 1 Samuel, the Bible starts off in the 8th chapter. It starts off talking about Samuel. And you know, Samuel, he was a prophet of God. He was a righteous man of God. And God called him. But one thing happened was that Samuel became old. He became old, and he had his sons, his sons began to start judging over the Israel. And so he was a prophet, he was a priest, and he was a judge. And also he was a counselor. And so he had his son, he became real old where he could not perform the task of judging, you know, these people. And so his two sons stepped in. And sometimes we have to realize that even though that we have children, don't mean that they're going to turn out the way we turned out or going to have the characteristic of the fruit that we have. And so the Bible says that his sons was very, very corrupt. They were very corrupt. They was taking money for bribery. They was, you know, just really, you know, really corrupt. Those are really corrupt things. And so the people began to start complaining. And they started asking Samuel. We're going to read here, right here, says that as Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons to be judged over
Israel. Joel and Abijah, his oldest son, held court in Beersheba. But they were not like their father, but they were greedy for money. So you know, sometimes people would do anything for money. And even they talked about how his son was so corrupt that he even slept with a lot of the women. The prophet's son. And so the people said, they accepted bribes and perverted justice. Now, it says that finally all the elders of Israel met at Ramah to discuss the matter with Samuel. They said, look, they told him, you are now old and your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge like all the other nations. Oh my goodness. Even though Samuel was a just man, his son was the opposite of Samuel. Oh my goodness. Sometimes we can look at our children and say, I don't know where you got that stuff from. You sure didn't get it from your mama. And so he said, ain't it something, ain't it something you can have a child be totally opposite of you? And so when we see those things, because I have children, you have to continue to pray, breaking down strongholds. We have the spirit of influencement in the school. And so we don't know, we don't know what our kids are being influenced by when they leave out this house or out your house. And so you have to continue to pray for them. Now, the Israelites are asking for a king. They failed to realize that Jehovah God, hallelujah, the great I am, was their king. It's something how God delivered them out of Egypt. He also brought them through the wilderness. But yet they still wanted a natural man, a natural king, a physical man that can make mistakes, like they can make mistakes. They wanted that king. God, I can just imagine that God was so disappointed. Oh my goodness. God, it's like, being married. God been married to his people, all of a sudden they just divorce him for other things, other things. Like it's not like, for instance, God wants to give us the best. Oh my goodness, he wants to rule over us. And yet we'll go and choose a relationship that's not healthy or contrary to what God has called us to have. And God is just shaking his head saying, I want to be their king. I want to rule over. I want to give them the best. God is saying, though you cannot see me, I'm with you. Sometimes we want to see God's physical. But God said, though you don't see me, I am with you. When you were sick, he said that I healed you. He said, when you was hungry, I fed you. When you was lonely, I comfort you. When you had sorrow, I comfort you. He said, have I always been with you? The children of the Israelites had experienced so many miracles that God had did. And yet, they wanted a physical king. They wanted a physical king. They wanted a counterfeit. But we know God promises is yea, and in him, amen. Amen. So they say, give us a king to judge us like all the other nations. Samuel was displeased with their request and went to the Lord for guidance. Do everything they say to you. The Lord replied, oh my goodness, for it is me they are rejecting, not you. They don't want me to be their king any longer. Oh my goodness. Ever since I brought them from Egypt, they have continually abandoned me and followed other gods. This is God talking. Ever since I have brought them out of the things that they had them bound, ever since I delivered them out of bondage. Oh, hallelujah. I just imagine, how God was feeling.
The thing that had them crying, calling upon the Lord, the thing that had them scared, the thing that afflicted them, the thing that had them in debt, God brought them out. Now, when God brings them out, now they feel they no longer need God. Oh God, we got this. We got this now. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for healing my body. But now I don't need you. That's the type of attitude the Israelites had. They say it was all good when you needed God, but now that you are free, you have abandoned him. Oh, my goodness. How many times have we done that? When God had delivered us from something or brought us out of a bad situation, and yet we go by like God ain't did nothing. Oh, my goodness. Can you just imagine how God felt? And so it says that in the ninth verse, it says, the Exodus brought them to Egypt, they have continued the enemy and follow other times. Now they are giving you the same, so they're giving you the same treatment. Who has they asked? But Solomon warned them about the way the king will reign over them. Warning comes before destruction. Warning comes before destruction. So he says, so Samuel passed on the Lord's warning to the people who were asking for a king. This is how a king will reign over you, Samuel said. The king will drought your sons and assign them to his chariot and his charities, making them rule before his chariot. Some will be general and captains in his army. Some will be his crops, and Saul will make his weapons and chariot equipment. He's telling them that the king is going to turn you guys into servants. Excuse me. The king will take your daughters from you and put them to cook and bake and make perfume for them. He and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his own officials. He would take a kiss of the ground in your great harvest and distribute it among his officers and attendants. He would take the male and female slaves and demand the finest of your cattle and donkeys for his own use. He will demand 10 of your flocks, and you will be his slave. This is what a counterfeit king would do to you. Now he's giving them this warning. He's telling them what a natural king would do. You know that it still feels better than they thought it was better. They're having a natural king versus a divine king. The divine king says in Deuteronomy 6, 10, and 13, yes, excuse me. I have a little bug going on. But Deuteronomy 6 and 10 says that our divine king, he's telling them what a natural king is going to do, make them servants. And so now he's going to turn around and telling them, this is what wanted for you. Loyal God, but soon bring you into the land he swore to give you. He made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is a land with large prosperous cities that you did not build. He's going to give it to you. This is what the divine king wants to do for you. The house will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You would draw water from cisterns you did not dig. And you would eat from vineyards. You would eat from vineyards the olive trees you did not plant. This is what the divine God wants to do for his people. You have eaten your field in this land. Be careful not to give the Lord who rescued you from slavery on that Egypt. So he's telling them, when I bless you, I just want to bless you. When I bless you, all I want you to do is not forget what I have done for you. Don't forget, when you have got on top of the mountain, or you've gotten to a place in your life where, you know, you're doing good for yourself and God has blessed you abundantly, just don't forget. Just don't forget who done it, who has given you this. That's all God was asking, but yet the children were blessed, and they realized they did not need God anymore. Oh, my goodness. The counterfeit versus the vine. You know, God was assuring them that he was pointing to the Messiah. He was pointing towards Jesus. The prophecy in Zechariah 9:9 says, Rejoice great, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And we see that prophecy was fulfilled in the book of Matthew, the 21st verse. God was pointing towards Jesus. He was getting these children ready to prepare for the king that was coming. The king of Jacob, the king of Israel, kings of kings, the lords of lords. He was preparing him. So God is a sovereign God. He's a great God. He's a great king. He's the eternal king. Oh, hallelujah. Bless his name. The Bible says that I am the Lord, your Holy One, the creator of Israel, your king. God is our king. Until we realize that he is the one that has created us. And we are his people. We are his children. He is our king. He is the king that wants to bless you above measure. God truly wants to bless his children. But many times we forsake our divine king and we run to the counterfeit. Things that only gives us pleasure for a moment. Things that only satisfy the flesh. But God said, what I give you is not corrupt. I don't know who I'm talking to. God said, what I'm going to give you, he said, is not corrupt. He said, I'm going to give you eternal peace. I'm going to give you eternal salvation. He said, you don't have to worry about food because I'm going to provide your needs because I'm Jehovah Jireh. He said, you don't have to worry about peace because I'm Jehovah Shalom. He said, anything that you need, he said, I am your king. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. He is our king, listeners. Whatever we need, we go to God in prayer. Oh, hallelujah. And believe that whatever our prayer is, that it lines up with God's will, and he will give it to us. You heard what I said? In pray according to his will. The Bible says to set our affection on things above and not things beneath. So we pray according to his will, and we believe and trust that our King, the great I Am, the Almighty God, will grant our wish. I know many people, some people have even made their husband and their relationships their king. They have made their job their king. They have made their children their king. But I want to encourage you today to repent. Go back to your first love, the one that created you, the one that has delivered you out of Egypt, the one that has delivered you out of bondage. I know you remember when you was in bondage to drugs and alcohol and all those different type of stuff that was going on in your past. Remember, God delivered you from that stuff? He the one, the king, the great king, the divine king. He's the one that delivered you. And because he's our great king, and we're going to have to see our great king again, we have to give him honor and give him praise and give him glory for who he is. I hope you enjoyed the message today. Versus what the counterfeit king versus the divine king. The divine king said he's going to give you houses that you didn't build, land that you did not build. He want to give you vineyards and plants that you did not plant. Versus the counterfeit king, he's going to take your vineyards. He's going to take your houses. He's going to sell your houses. He's going to take your land. He's going to take your best cattle. Versus the counterfeit versus the divine king. God want to bless you. Divine king wants to bless you, but the counterfeit wants to use you. Don't forget. God bless you. I hope you enjoy the message today, and I will see you next week. God bless.
Ain't nobody stopping my shine. They try to break me, try to take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought it would die, but ain't no power stronger than the one that came and laid down his life. And I got mountains to climb, but the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my line. So when I'm crying, don't last too long, cause he gon' step in and make it alright. Won't he do it? He said he would. Fight your battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night. Won't he do it? Oh, yes he will. Anybody tell you something different, you know that's a lie. You gon' look back and be so amazed how it turned out, it's only his grace. Won't he do it? He said he would. So I trust him at all times. I'm about to lose it again. I'm about to let him know where I'm from. Don't take me there again. Just call on Jesus, my friend. Get me back in line one more time, cause he's always listening. Ain't nobody perfect, everybody's hurting. Need to whisper, Lord, save me from my weaknesses, cause they're always on time. Right.